and welcome back to the Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast. I always feel like I'm going to screw that up. I don't know why, but every time I go to say it, I think it's because it's written as just Crossplay Podcast, but I want to say Dual Screens.
Sure.
I think that's what it is. I
mean, don't worry. By the time we rebrand the show again, you'll get it down.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen until at least 6 months from now. So
the very least.
I have some time. Hello, everybody.
Minimum 25 episodes.
I am Steven Fontana. Over there is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
Why do barbers insist on discussing politics with you while you're on a chair and there's a razor blade to your throat? I feel like I have to be like, yes, I love Trump. Please just cut my hair.
I think because they have no... I don't know.
Like, I understand it's topical. It's on the news in the background, but I have like this old Polish immigrant that does my hair. He's an amazing guy, but he goes in these like political tirades sometimes. And I'm like, yes.
Oh boy.
Yes to everything you're saying. Get the blade away from my neck, please.
You should be like, yeah. Poland, huh? You remember Hitler?
Yeah, great.
I'll that sucked.
Jesus Christ. What a start. Oh.
We're firing on all cylinders. And that other voice is Taylor Allen. How are you, Taylor?
I'm good. I also went to the barber. Me and my barber talk about golf.
There you go. My barber and I talk about children, our children specifically, the house, what we're going to have for dinner because my wife cuts my hair.
It's your wife. Nice. I got it. I was like, wait a minute.
And she hasn't cut my hair in a while, but that's because of me. I just want to let it grow. I want to come out of this quarantine looking like Wolfman. That's kind of like how I want to be. I want to come out in the world and people would be like, what happened to Steve? And I'd be like, am I right? You know what I mean? Hair, the moon, politics.
It's been a hard year and a half. You
know, it's been
just like
rough.
Shaking, very pale.
it's been very rough. The sun? What is this? This is the Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast, the internet's number one gaming news podcast starring people you've never heard of, probably. The show posts every single Tuesday for your listening pleasure and records live on twitch.tv/dualscreensstreams every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and later as a video on demand, depending on if there is another update for either the NVIDIA graphics card or Premiere Pro or whatever that decides.
Or just Windows as a whole.
It's incredible. It is incredible. Today, Andy, do you remember earlier today when I said, hey, I'm exporting the last week's first play?
Correct.
I just now, before the show started, finally got it to actually export.
No.
So that was 5 hours
Good
ago.
Good God.
No. 5 hours ago, it kept getting stuck and then failing. I was rebooting and uninstalling and reinstalling drivers over and over and over again. And finally it said, oh, yeah, no, we get it. We're going to do it now. Thanks a lot.
Adobe. Oh, you're serious?
Oh, you want the video.
Oh, I see.
Steve, you and I have very similar PCs, right? We got a 2060, pretty decent CPU, very similar PCs.
Uh-huh.
My PC runs like butter. Are you like downloading a lot of porn?
No.
Or like a bunch of viruses? Like, what the fuck are you doing over there?
I have an excellent So here's the thing. Whenever NVIDIA comes out with their game ready drivers, it makes Adobe and Streamlabs have a heart attack. Streamlabs is usually the first one to come out and be like, we figured it out, don't worry, everything's gonna work fine. And it doesn't happen every time NVIDIA has an update. Anytime Streamlabs has an update, Streamlabs is broken for a week. And that's for everyone in the whole world. But for specifically when Adobe does an update, they break something every single time. It's usually the media encoder that breaks. And it just makes it impossible for me to do anything. So videos are late this week because of that. It's just been a painstakingly slow process for me. But I have all of my files, everything ready to go for our January PS Plus ranking. So that's going to be coming out very soon at the end of the week. The last week's crossplay will be up as a YouTube video on youtube.com/dualscreenstv. And also this show I will edit tomorrow, and that'll go up tomorrow night because you have a 24-hour embargo for when you do a stream on Twitch. So that's why, if you're wondering why the show doesn't go up immediately on YouTube, that is why. And it has to get 24 hours of exclusivity on Twitch. So if you want to be on the ground level, go to twitch.tv/dualscreensstreams. If you want to support us on Patreon, it's very simple to do so. Go to patreon.com/NDS podcast. Just like our Patreon producers, Colton the Apprentice Nestler and FNH Paul. We cannot continue to grow without your support. Andy got a fancy new microphone. As you can see, it sounds so beautiful. We're starting to look great. He's setting up his studio. Look at him. Everything's happening. It's all because of you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for doing that. All right, guys. It is time to get into everybody's favorite t-shirt they can buy on dualscreens.com/store. The adventures in gaming, 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 gaming. Andy, what have you been playing?
Well, as per the doc, I'm playing old shit. Because I love me some old shit, guys.
That's all you've been doing lately.
I replayed Siphon Filter for the umpteenth time in my life. Okay. And you know what? That game, I think, deserves more of a remake than a Metal Gear Solid does. Now that I'm thinking about it more and more. That whole trilogy on PS1. Mm-hmm. Fucking Gabe Logan, man. He's the man.
Yeah.
He's more man than Solid Snake, I feel, in many ways.
I don't remember, like I remember really liking those games as a kid, but I don't remember them at all. Like, at all.
There was a virus that was programmed to kill people on their race or their gender, on where they came from.
So it was funny story about those games, specifically the first game. Mm-hmm. There is a boss encounter with a Russian lady in like a big pantheon looking place, right?
In the subway.
Oh, no, no,
it's through a subway section.
Oh, is that what it is? Isn't there one in like a, it's almost like a museum or something, big Greek columns.
Oh yeah, that's later on. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that one. So that lady says, "You can't hunt forever," 85 times during that encounter, right? My family to this day still says that to each other.
Oh my God.
Because we used to play that game so much when I was a kid. I remember when I was in the second grade, I got Siphon Filter 3 for Christmas. And my grandma was mortified because it was a rated M game. And my mom was so stoked to go play it with me. It wasn't even funny.
So
I love those games.
What else, Andy? What else are you doing all there in the old timey machine?
That's real. Oh, I started playing MK Mythologies also.
Yeah.
That was that like side scrolling adventure game that they did.
I remember that.
Back when MK4, it was like a prequel to Mortal Kombat.
Yep.
Did some of that as well. Just because I wanted to.
Why not?
And then to wrap things up, a little Spider-Man Remastered. I'm on the second DLC now with Silver Sable.
Okay. That's respectable.
It's almost new. It's new-ish.
Yeah.
I'm working towards Miles Morales at some point in my life.
It was a recent re-release.
Right. Though according to Sony, I got a platinum from Miles Morales.
Yes.
I'm not sure when that happened, but...
That's just been happening. I sent that out to a lot of people. I don't know, man.
I was like,
some weird stuff. Weird stuff going on. Taylor, what have you been playing?
So have you ever stumbled upon a game and you're like, man, this game is really cool. Why is no one talking about this game? And then you just like peel the skin back a little bit and you realize there's this weird festering like undergrowth of a community that's way bigger than you ever thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because... Mm-hmm. That happened to me recently with a game called Path of Exile.
Mm-hmm.
As you guys know, I was bit by the Diablo bug.
Yep.
I was playing that and I was burning through the seasonal stuff like it was nothing, right? I played a lot of that game very quickly. And I had heard for a long time that Path of Exile is like the ARPG, right? Like everyone agrees that's the best one on the market by far. So I was like, okay, I'll check it out. Started playing it. I was like, damn, this game's really cool. I was streaming it the first time I played. And I was getting a bunch of people coming into my chat who had played 8,000 hours of that game, 12,000 hours of that game.
This is not an exaggeration. I was there for some of these conversations.
Yeah. One guy, I shit you not, said he had played 20,000 hours of Path of Exile.
My God.
20,000 hours. Okay. And this was dozens of people. This wasn't just like one or two people that had played a shit ton of this game. Like, I, at one point I had 55 people in there in my chat, and granted I had gotten a big host earlier, but like 12 people, 15 people were all chatting at once talking about like how much they play the game. The lowest I saw that night was someone had like 3,000 hours. I was told the first 1,000 hours of the game is a tutorial. Like, it just blew my mind. And so I was like, Jesus Christ, how did I not know that this was so big? And so I start looking into it, right? Find a bunch of these huge YouTubers that have like a million subs on YouTube, you know, 500,000 subs on YouTube, like a ton, right? And so I'm like, I'm going to look this game up on Twitch because they have their new season that just came out today. Let's see what that looks like. There were more people watching Path of Exile than there were watching Fortnite, Call of Duty Warzone, Apex Legends, Among Us, like all of these huge games, right, that you think are like top of the charts. And it was bigger than all of those. It had, there was like 113,000 people in the middle of the night that were watching Path of Exile. All of this to say, I fucking love this game. I'm addicted. It's terrifying how much there is in this game. I found out today from watching a random streamer that there's a tower defense mode in this fucking ARPG, you guys. Like, there is so many systems, and it's just like years and years of the developers adding a new mechanic each season, every 3 months, just being stacked on top of each other for, that game came out like 2012, 2013, you know, so 7-8 years now at this point.
It looks great. Like, even like, I played it for a little bit. I was just messing around with it because, you know, I love my action RPGs, and I mean, it's great. And the skill tree is super in depth. Like the whole, it's not really skills, it's passive tree,
yeah,
but like, it's really cool. It basically looks like the sphere grid, but like 9 times the size, and it's all passive stuff. And then like all your skills are tied to your weapons and your gear and like the gems that you attach to them and like all that stuff. It's really unique. And I highly recommend people go on the internet and just watch some people play it, or like look up some minor tutorials or character builds. Like maybe you say, oh, I want to be this kind of character. And like, there's probably people out there creating that just for that. Andy, I have started down the path of finishing the damn game. So I am officially going live 3 nights a week on twitch.tv/batchild.
I saw Borderlands, right?
And I am beating the backlog. Any game that I have started that I like and I want to finish, I'm going to finish. And I could proudly say that on last Wednesday, I finished Ghost of Tsushima. I finished the story.
Nice. Very nice.
Obviously, I'm not nowhere near 100%ing the game, but at this point, I have like 20 games that I need to get.
I rolled credits. That counts as something.
I rolled credits, and Andy, after rolling credits, when I'm speaking to Yuna, I think, speaking to her, and he goes over everything he didn't finish. They have a whole conversation about everything that he left unresolved. And it was like...
Get resolved,
it was
dude.
Like... 30 seconds of him saying, and what about this? Yeah, we have to do that. And what about this? Yeah, and what about this? Yeah, what about this? Yeah, and it's just going down the list of all the shit you didn't do when you played the story. And I was like, okay, off. I'm done. I am bouncing back and forth now between Witcher 3 and Borderlands 3. Mm-hmm. And Witcher 3, it took me like maybe, I want to say like a half an hour to like get the controls back and what I was doing. But I played a mission where... Geralt meets up with two other Witchers in Witcher Town, Wisconsin, wherever they're from, and they get wasted drunk.
Witcherton.
they get wasted drunk. Like, they're just long lost friends. They haven't seen each other in years, and they're just drinking to catch up. And you have an option at any point to cut off the drinking and have them go to bed. But I kept instigating. I kept saying, no, keep this going. And definitely one of the funniest, one of my fondest, like, I loved every second of it. I don't know if you've played that mission before. I don't know if you've done that before, but eventually the three of you are cross-dressing. You're using a sorcerer's, like, basically Zoom call, and you're prank calling, like, some guy, like, halfway across the world, this other sorcerer's like, who the hell are you? And it's it's so funny.
Do they bang at some point?
No, that's the. But what it reminded me of was the camaraderie that you felt in Final Fantasy 15.
Oh yeah,
but it was so brilliantly written. Like it wasn't campy. It felt like a natural three dudes who absolutely love each other. That they rag on each other, they poke fun of each other, and then they just get obliterated drunk and do the stupidest shit. And it was so much fun to play, and I cannot wait to dive back into that. And then Borderlands 3, I had a fucking fiasco because I had on my PS5, I have the PS5 edition of Borderlands 3, which, you know, has some added stuff. The trigger's awesome. All the guns feel really cool. Like, the triggers do really cool stuff. But my save wasn't there. And I know I uploaded everything from the cloud to the cloud, whatever. But when I transferred, and I transferred my PS4 to my PS5. So it's weird, right? I look, there's no PS4 version of the game on my console. Here's what I had to do very quickly before we move on to the new, the indie news report. I had to turn on my PS4, update Borderlands 3 to the latest version, upload my save to the cloud, go on my PS5, erase all save data from the console. I could keep the thing. Download the PS4 version on my PS5. Download the save in the menu, in the Borderlands menu, from the cloud to the PS4 version. You following so far?
Following,
then,
yes. Following.
Upload the PS4 save from the PS5 to the cloud. Then go into the PS5 version of the game of Borderlands, and then download the save, and then it finally worked. Moral of the story, Microsoft does it better. Full stop.
Also, I want to ask, was the PS4 version of the game also on your drive?
I had to download it.
Wasting space.
I had to, in order to upload, to download and upload
That's
my save
so
file.
Ridiculous.
I deleted it after the fact, which was fine, but in order to get my character, I had to download the PS4 version on my PS5, download the save, then upload the save, then download the save on my PS5. It was completely stupid.
This is why smart delivery is, like, such an awesome thing, right? And I think people didn't really understand it when they were talking about it before the consoles actually launched.
What a shock. People don't understand
something. It's, like, so seamless now. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is. But, you know, a lot of that has to do with the fact that the PS5 version is a different version, whereas the Series X version is the enhanced version, because they're so similar in their architecture, they're able to just do that. So the saves just – it's just like upgrading your PC. The PS5 doesn't take that approach, which up until this point hasn't really mattered. Now it matters because things are so close in how they're – you know, the backwards compatibility, all that shit. It's just stupid. They just, I don't know, man. They just did some weird shit. Anyway, Andy, take us into the indie news report.
So this came across my desk today. It's a little horror game called Buried in Ice, which is, it says it's inspired by John Carpenter's The Thing.
I've seen this, yeah.
It is legit a ripoff of The Thing. Let's go through some bullet points, shall we?
Sure.
Remember that team play is key to success. Staying together means staying alive. If you're alone for too long, it will bring an end to your story. This already sounds like a Phasmophobia type multiplayer game versus maybe a Thing AI, or it's like an evolved sort of, like, someone plays as The Thing. But let's go further down. Survive in the most unfriendly environment on Earth. Remember that hunger?
A Walmart.
Cold, yes, Florida. Stress or contamination can be fatal, as, here it comes, guys, as The Thing, in all caps, that's hunting you. It's like legit The Thing. Test your moral boundaries. cooperate with other members of the team, help them survive, or steal, cheat, run away, destroy, and kill. It's up to you how this story will end. Now that's that sounds more like
they absolutely dropped that into Google Translate.
Right.
There's no way they had somebody actually write
but,
that.
But see, now this last bullet point really entices me. Remember that time is running out. Try to either escape or kill the thing as soon as possible. Because if you happen to become the last one standing, it may mean that you're not human anymore.
Whoa.
Kind of cool. I'm more into like a, if it was like a single player thing.
Super
like,
deep.
Listen, listen. The Thing has a really good history for video games. PS2. It's an amazing game. It's hard to top that. So this, we'll see. It looks a little janky based on the trailer, but it's worth a wish list on Steam. So we'll see how it turns out. But that's the indie news for the day.
Wonderful. Gentlemen. Wonderful news. All right. Let's get into the crossplay dual screens report. Taylor, take us away. Take us into this first story.
Yes. This first story makes me very sad. Team Ninja have announced that they are done making Neo and Ninja Gaiden games. And I'm very upset about it. So the next project that they're working on is not going to be in existing IP in either or in existing a new game in their existing IP franchises. That's what I was meaning to say. So Neo, which I thought both Neo 1 and Neo 2 were incredible, is a no-go. No Ninja Gaiden, which I know people have been clamoring for a new Ninja Gaiden for a long time. It sounds like they're working on some new stuff. The direct quote from Yasuda over at Team Ninja is they are working on a lot of new titles instead. So it sounds like there are multiple projects in the works right now, but none of them the games that I so love and adore from them. I'm hoping it's going to be a similar style of game, just, you know, maybe a new IP, new location, new setting, something like that. But I'm not very optimistic that that's going to be the case.
Well, I mean, we wouldn't have had Neo if they didn't do this. You know, like this is they're good at this. They're good at creating these new IP. And I'm trying to remember, have they had a bad new IP?
Let me look back through their catalog.
I think Heavenly did Heavenly Sword, right? Was that them?
No, you're thinking
because I know there's like
the Microsoft people.
Right, the
Ninja Theory.
Ninja Theory. I always get the Team Ninja and Ninja Theory screwed up. Okay.
Yeah, so,
like, did they like, I can't remember the last time they had something that, that was a miss. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, Neo and Ninja Gaiden are like, the tent poles for them at this point. Yeah. But, like, there's no – that's the way you have to do it. Like, you otherwise, you get into, you know, an Assassin's Creed ping pong match.
Right, right. And I feel with this news, it's a little bittersweet for me because I love this franchise and the universe and the setting of it all. But – I don't want it to overstay its welcome and being like Neo 12, like 4 years from now, because I feel like it's done its thing. These games sold millions of copies. They were so well received upon release. So they've had their time to shine. They can move on now. But again, it's bittersweet.
Yeah.
I love them, but you know, it's bigger and better.
Yeah. I would argue the last miss that they had was Ultimate Alliance 3. I forgot that they did that. Yeah. I didn't love that game. I thought the game kind of sucked.
I think the bad thing about that game was the way online worked because of the Switch limitations. Like, I think Switch held that game back from what it could really have been. Like, I did enjoy it, but it did not run great, and the online was really bad. But I liked the story. I liked the characters. I liked all of that. I liked, you know, basically all of that from that game. So, I mean,
just to recap really quickly some of their other releases, they do Dead or Alive and all of the weird spin-offs from the Dead or Alive franchise.
Right.
They did that Dissidia Final Fantasy mobile game. Fire like Emblem Dissidia. Warriors, Neo 2, all of the Ninja Gaiden games. They also, which I think a lot of people forget, did Metroid Other M.
Yikes.
Ooh,
for that's the Nintendo Wii.
Now, that's not questionable. But that's not a new IP. That's not their thing.
Questionable sure, shit.
That's not their thing.
I think the lesson that we learn here is the stuff they put out on Nintendo consoles sucks ass.
Correct.
Oh, no, they did Hyrule Warriors. People like that game, right?
Sure.
The first one?
Yeah, they did the first one.
No, yeah. I mean, it was okay, but it ran like garbage. Until it went on the, because like that was when they had the new 3DS that like it clearly was supposed to be on that only, but they wound up putting it on the other thing. Anyway, Andy, what's our next story here?
Oh boy, Resident Evil Village Showcase happening in 2 days.
Brown I'm chicken, excited. Brown cow.
So we're finally going to get some more into the gameplay of this game, some of the characters, who's in it, who are the main players. That's all great. I'm all about that shit. But in this PlayStation blog that they posted just the other day, special note here that they've got, quote unquote, a few more surprises in store. That you'll simply have to wait to see what those are.
Another online mode.
It got me thinking. Now, this could be one of two things. It could be this rumored Resident Evil outrage that Rebecca Chambers, the Revelations 3
kind of game
that they were was in the Capcom leak. Or it could be, most definitely not, a re-release of the original Resident Evil 1 trilogy from the PS1 days.
Okay.
Remastered, Mega Man classic style.
Interesting.
So that rumor came from Instagram. They were posting the old UI from Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, oh shit, it's happening, guys. Resident Evil 1 through 3, re-release, baby. But then Resident Evil 4 got their UI. It's like, oh, they're just doing a thing with all the game UIs.
Mm-hmm.
So so much for that rumor.
Question for the room.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Do we call it Resident Evil 8, Resident Evil 8 Village, Village?
Okay.
Or Resident Evil Village.
Oh, you see.
What are we calling this game?
I would call it Resident Evil Eightage.
Eightage. Got it. Okay.
That is the only answer to that question.
I see. I see.
I hate spooky games, so call it whatever you want. Call it not on my PC.
Call it Resident Funhouse. Happy times for everyone. That's what you could call it for Purger.
There we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bethesda had some big stuff to say. Lucasfilm Games and Bethesda announce a new Indiana Jones game. That's right. So first of all, the fact that Lucasfilm Games is now a thing, it was like one...
Again.
Yeah, again. Yeah. Well, it yes. Yes, again. Which is not LucasArts. Those are two different things. Okay, just so people remember. Okay. Yeah. So Lucasfilm Games, Bethesda, they announced a new Indiana Jones game being developed by the award-winning studio Machine Games and executive produced by Todd Howard. So
interesting.
This could be good or terrible. Todd Howard has been swinging wildly.
Yeah,
lately.
It is very literally that, good or terrible. Those are the only two options for this.
Yes. Yes.
Here's some reasons I'm a little hesitant on this.
Sure.
Machine Games' most recent release was that Wolfenstein spinoff with BJ's daughters. I can't remember the name of the game.
Right.
The one, though. That game sucked.
New Blood?
That game was, yes, New Blood. Wolfenstein New Blood. That game was bad. Mm-hmm. Like, just absolutely horrendous. But Wolfenstein 2 was, like, one of the best games of this last generation. Like, I would say hands down one of the best first-person shooters we saw on the PS4 gen. Todd Howard's most recent games have been Fallout 76 and Fallout 4, but then also Skyrim. So, like...
Yeah. For what it's worth, Fallout 4...
I don't know.
Fallout 4 to me just had like one really, really shoot in, really tacked on mechanic that got so annoying to do. But the rest of the game I think was great. And but that mechanic just kept getting in the way. Don't make me build shit. I don't want to build anything. Just leave me alone. Let me play stories and stuff.
You can build your own town, Steven, and put people in it and resources and lights. You can put lights in things and make a little Fallout Boy thing light up.
Yeah, so nice. Whatever.
Remember all the people that built giant dicks?
Yes.
Oh, I do.
Yes. And then there were people that were making legitimate, like, Metropoli. Metropolis.
Yeah, I can. I feel like the overachievers ruin it for me because I'm not gonna build a fucking.
I'm not building a fucking train.
I'm not building giant dicks.
I'm not building a roller coaster in Fallout 4. Like I just want to shoot fucking gross creatures in the face.
Yeah, I've made like 10 more world wonders here. What do you got? I got a dick. A dick lights.
All of my arrows are dicks. The reason I am optimistic about this though is. A, they have Microsoft money now and Microsoft resources. So hopefully the engine is good. It sounds like machine games, they use the Doom engine. And so it's like, it's going to be totally fine. But
are we seeing this as a rival to Uncharted, do you think?
I sure fucking hope so.
I don't think so. I don't think so. It's almost certainly going to be first person, right? Like that's what machine games does best. I think it's going to be in that same vein.
Yeah, I don't want that from them.
You don't want it to be first person?
First person Indiana Jones game?
No.
That sounds horrible.
I want it to be like Jedi, whatever the fuck.
Fallen Order?
Fallen Order, but like not shitty.
Right.
And a really cool story. You
know, revolver and whip.
Use the whip to like swing and like climb shit and whatnot. And I want no Shia LaBeouf, and you're not going to hear that of me.
Oh, you've turned on.
You're not going to hear that from me. I just don't like him in that universe. It was not good. It was not a good use of Shia LaBeouf. Not a good use of Shia LaBeouf.
Really bad film, as well overall.
Yes.
Speaking of new games.
Yeah. What happened?
Yes.
Go ahead. Ask me what.
Let me tell you about Rust.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh,
everybody's fucking playing this game all of a sudden.
Everyone's fucking playing Rust. So I'll tell you why. I've been doing some research on this, right? Because
who triggered this moment?
XQC, who is one of the biggest streamers on Twitch, and also probably shouldn't say this, grade A douchebag. He's kind of a tool, but he announced this new server that he's doing with a bunch of other content creators and Twitch streamers, right? You know, people that you see in the Among Us crowd all the time, Toast, Sykuno, Pokimane, Ludwig,
Corpse.
Like all of Corpse, all these like big streamers, right? And so they announced this the day that that server got announced. Rust made had its second day ever of making over $1 million in a day in the history of that game. Like it just exploded, right? And the reason I bring this up is not because Rust is breaking its concurrent player records by like 2.5-fold or whatever now. It's because streamers, I've noticed, have such an influence on games and their sales and can like revitalize old games because they're playing together. And I think that's fucking wild because I don't think we've seen this until the recent past, right? We saw it with Among Us, Fall Guys was a new game, so that doesn't really count.
That's kind of what the whole Twitch Rivals thing was, right?
Yeah,
like that was like, let's get all of the Twitch people together and crown a winner. And I think that's where he was caught cheating. But I honestly don't quote me on that. I'm not up on that kind of culture. But it's bananas to me. Like when you think of an influencer, most of the time people think they roll their eyes on a fucking influencer. But no, they fucking influence. Like,
100%.
I worked on the other side of this trying to get influencers to play a game before recently. And I was kind of like let behind the curtain. Like, there are some streamers that will ask for six figures for 1 hour. For 1 hour to play a game.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
Yeah. They have managers, they have agents. They're like, they're like a Hollywood talent endorsing your product. That's what it is. And if they, and they have their own like scale of morality where they're like, if it's a game I don't give a shit about, it's going to cost you more money. Simple as that.
Jeez.
Like they could charge a shit ton of money.
The worse the game is, the more they charge, basically.
Not necessarily, because like there are some bad games that they'll love to play. Like it, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
well, that's
like Rust.
You're playing it for that factor. Right. It's so horrible.
Yeah. Like it's a legitimate like. For, when you look at it, from one thing that Andy and I would always say about dual screens, like we are super passionate and we believe in what the Dual Screens podcast specifically should be doing. Like we think that giving a voice to all these indie developers and stuff like that, like it should have a much larger audience. And most of the people that find our show on YouTube will drop in the comments and say as much. And I always say to Andy, we need just one influencer advocate. Like we need one of them to just say, all right, so I found this podcast, check them out. They have almost 200 interviews with all these indie devs. Before you even heard about the game, they were interviewing the people that make the game, like the one person that made that game that you love, like they spoke to him 2 years ago, like that kind of thing. We always think about that.
So what you're saying is we have to pool our money together to pay off some influencers to promote
our show. I'm hoping I would be more hopeful that it would happen organically. But
right, of course, that's the hope, Steven.
but that's essentially a legitimate thing, Steven.
I'm getting there.
People. Patreon.com/dualscreens.
That's it. That's how you do it.
Please do.
Patreon money. Hit it up.
The other crazy thing about this though is not only are more people playing Rust, more people buying Rust. Just to kind of circle it back, there were 450,000 viewers at its peak on Twitch, just on Twitch, just for comparison's sake, right? That's about 30% of the total Twitch audience. The next highest game, League of Legends, was like 100,000 viewers less than that. And League of Legends is always at the top. Like
another game that bores me to tears.
Yeah. 100%.
I cannot watch people play
that game. It's just absolutely insane the level of pull that these massive Twitch streamers have in revitalizing these games that are supposedly dead, you know?
Speaking of dead.
Ooh, that's a good segue, Steven. Mm. I love it.
I am on this next story.
Right.
I am so in the middle on this. Like,
you know, me too.
I cannot decide whether or not I like this or not.
I am split down the middle.
Down the middle.
Like a Kung Lao fatality on this shit, Steven. Let me explain it to you. All right. So we finally, with like I think 3 months away from release, I think it's sometime in April, the Mortal Kombat reboot film dropped some info. We got some beautiful imagery from the film. I saw that first. And I got to tell you, boys, seeing Kung Lao and Liu Kang like just side by side looked incredible.
Burning his own arm off.
Seeing my boy Steve Harvey as Jax was also amazing.
That was great. Yeah, that's
great. That was just.
I'm so happy for him that he's doing such great things, you know?
I mean, he's worthy of more than Family Feud, I think. And this is a good role for him. But then I saw the plot synopsis that they released, and it really set me back, like almost all the way back. Like it took me like down to earth and into the ground. That's how bad it was. So I shall read for you boys, if you haven't read it yet. This reads like a bit of a fan fiction, or someone who just saw like, oh yeah, I know some of the names of the series. And I'll write a story based around that. In Mortal Kombat, MMA fighter Cole Young, who the fuck are you, accustomed to taking a beating for money, is unaware of his heritage, or why Outworld's Emperor Shang Tsung, red flag number two, has sent his best warrior Sub-Zero, an otherworldly cryomancer, another weird thing, but whatever, to hunt Cole down. Fearing for his family's safety, Cole goes in search of Sonya Blade at the direction of Jax, a special forces major who bears the same strange dragon marking Cole was born
with.
Oh,
man.
Red flag number 5, I think, at this point. Soon, he finds himself at the temple of Lord Raiden, an elder god and the protector of Earthrealm.
Uh-huh. Okay, they got that
sanctuary,
right.
Who grants sanctuary to those who bear the mark. Here, Cole trains with experienced warriors Liu Kang, Kung Lao, and rogue mercenary Kano.
Uh-huh. As he Steve, you spoke
to
too soon.
With Earth's greatest champions against the enemies of Outworld in a high-stakes battle for the universe. But will Cole be pushed hard enough to unlock his Arcana, the immense power from within his soul, in time to save not only his family, but to stop Outworld once and for all? What the fuck is Arcana? Why is Shang Tsung Emperor? Why is Kano good?
Okay. Let's think about this. We want an original story. We want an original story.
Do we?
Yes. The MMA. I do. I don't want to see the same thing I know. Like, I hate that. Like, give me something original. That's fine. But keep the characters. Keep the characters' essence intact. You know what I mean? So this Cole Young guy.
Yeah, their soul. They're Arcana.
Keep yeah, they're Arcana. Intact. Keep it together. Yeah. So this Cole Young guy. I get it. MMA fighter. Great. I don't understand why you didn't just make him Johnny Cage. Now, what they could be doing is perhaps this is somebody related to Johnny Cage, and Johnny Cage was a movie star in the 80s. That would kind of make sense because that's when those movies were like an action star was thought of as like legit, like Jean-Claude Van Damme and what's his fucking face, the other Chuck Norris. I was going to call him an idiot, and he was just going to punch me right here, right live on the air. It was going to happen. I held my tongue. Praise be. Like, that's okay to me. Like, MMA is huge now. Like, it's a multi-billion dollar business. I get it. It ties kind of a reality into the story. That would be, if I was fighting a tournament against some weird alien creatures I didn't know about from some hellscape, like, the MMA might be where I would go to find somebody, like a Conor McGregor or whatever. Somebody that could just toss some dudes around, like a Brock Lesnar or whatever. I get that. The tattoo thing? It didn't work in Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
It don't work, dude.
That shit was dumb.
Why? No one thought this sounds a little bit too silly and stupid. Let's not have this in here.
I love that they just casually drop that he was talking to Jax, and Jax said, "All right, go find Sonya Blade." And the kid's like, "All right, you got the same tattoo as me. I'll do it."
Yeah. Like, there's nothing suspicious here, tattoo brother.
Not at all.
You know why they have the same tattoo? Because they went to the same tattoo artist. But they were both
100%.
It's weird because it kind of seems like there's been a number of tournaments before this movie takes place, because Liu Kang and Kung Lao are like already, they're helping this new guy train. And maybe Shang Tsung took over Outworld from Shao Kahn at some point.
Like, maybe this is like the story. Maybe they're assuming that like Liu Kang was already the hero once.
But the other weird thing is that I read also into this a little bit further that Scorpion and Sub-Zero are like in feudal Japan, like in the past, before they get their powers.
Oh my god.
Then they get their powers somehow, and I'm like, Sub-Zero was born with them powers, and Scorpion, when he died, we got those powers. So I'm not sure how that works. But
I have a solution. Ready?
Sure. Play the video game.
We take this entire fucking script and put it in a shredder. We take the concept of this MMA kid, we make him Liu Kang, and just like tell a new story. This is Mortal Kombat 1 in a modern setting. There you go.
Now, let me ask you this, Andy.
Yes, please.
If the action is great, there's blood, there's gore, there's martial arts, there's punching,
it's
fighting.
Confirmed fatalities.
I know, all that stuff. But if it's done well, if it's got a sweet action film, we're talking like one of them true kung fu classics. does the story matter to you?
Not really, because you know, it's in its own sealed vacuum of a universe. Right. It's this Mortal Kombat adaptation, like the first Silent Hill movie. It told a very janky, sort of lopsided story, but it had really great visuals, great soundtrack.
And it was spooky.
It somewhat came together. And, you know, I gave that a chance going in. Like, all right, you're ditching Harry. You're putting in a female lead. I get it. Whatever. It's fine. But this has a lot of stuff in that synopsis that just seems wrong to me. Like the Dragon Mark and Emperor Shang Tsung and
The Emperor Shang Tsung doesn't bother me because you got to start somewhere, you know.
A lot of stuff. That...
But why don't they start with Shao Kahn? You know, because
they could build to that.
It just makes me wonder, like,
you know what I mean? Like maybe Shang Tsung is pretending to be the Emperor.
Here's my issue with this, Steven. Mortal Kombat, above other fighting games, has so much lore to it.
Sure.
And an actual story.
That everyone knows.
It's like trying to make a story. It's like trying to do Street Fighter 2 back in the day with Jean-Claude Van Damme. It's like, what's it about? I don't know. They're fighting for something.
An American soldier with some weird accent we can't quite pinpoint.
we'll write around that shit. We'll make it work. But you have so much source material here. Just use it. We'll make up our own shit. It's totally fine.
You know what this sounds like, Andy? This sounds like a kid in 1994 that was 16 years old, got really high, and tried to explain the story of the Mortal Kombat video games to a modern-day movie executive team. And they said, all right, we're going to write a movie about this now. That's what that disorienting plot detail synopsis that you just read sounded like. Like...
Yeah, it's legit, like Hollywoodified.
What the fuck? Yeah.
You can see it passing through the filter as you're reading each word off that synopsis.
Yeah. Terrible.
Well, listen, I'll give it a chance. It's on HBO Max, so I can just download it off the internet and not pay a dime, so that's great. So, love it or hate it, I'm not paying for it.
The Hype Zone, Andy, I am blown away that synopsis was not The Hype Zone. But
you know why? Because I want to give it an actual discussion.
I understand this. Your hype zone is actually sort of kind of hype.
It is.
So hit me up with some silly shit here, Andy.
Oh my god. So you know Andy loves his old shit.
I do.
He loves
this.
Old PlayStation 1 shit.
I also know this, yeah.
Some angel of a human being is demaking Bloodborne for the PlayStation 1 and I am putting a link in the chat right now for those that haven't seen it yet. This looks, and there it is. This looks, thank you, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
This looks good. Mm-hmm. Like, really good. It has like a Nightmare Creatures kind of vibe to it when you look at it. But seeing like the motions, I love how they're like, oh yeah, it's 60 frames now, but you know, we'll dumb that down later once it's actually an actual game. This week's a potential future guest on the show when I look at it.
Okay. Yeah.
And it takes a brave soul to take a game like Bloodborne and demake it for the PlayStation 1. It's a huge undertaking. A lot of stuff. A lot of big enemies, big massive boss fights in this game.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the
complex weaponry. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, the weapon arts and stuff are gonna be a little interesting.
Yeah.
We'll see if a cease and desist doesn't take this thing down.
Yeah, just look at shutdown like that Mega Man Battle Network thing that was shut down also not too long ago.
Yeah. So in other news, which Buzz actually brought my attention, I thought now that I remember, I feel like this dropped last week and we didn't talk about it, but maybe it didn't. I don't know. My concept of time is completely thrown off at this point, but Ubisoft is making an open world Star Wars game.
Oh, yes.
That was I think what's bigger than that, because Ubisoft making an open world game does two things to me. It makes me go, oh yeah, they know how to do that. And then, oh, they do that all the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know which one we're going to get. I don't know if we're going to get the copy and paste open world, go to the question marks, finish the question marks, climb a tower, you know, find a force and see more of the map.
Find the force.
You know, use your force vision.
You go up on the temple, and you're like, okay, use the force, and then you use the force, and oh, I could see more of the planet now.
Cool. I want this to be so far removed from Jedi and force users, it's not even funny.
That would be nice.
I want this to be a fucking dope ass bounty hunter game.
That would be cool.
Give us the Star Wars 1313 realization that we deserve.
Give us
in a bigger, grander fashion.
Yes. Give us.
Do you want this?
Give us what Assassin's Creed used to be.
I was gonna say, I don't want like a reskin of modern Assassin's Creed.
No.
I want like old school Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. Like gathering intel, finding your target. Mm. And figuring out a way to destroy your target. Mm-hmm. And then collect that moolah all while a story is unfolding.
Yep.
I
want there to be like a really cool in-game economy where you have to like fuel your ship and pay for supplies and stuff to like go out and take these bounties. It's never going to happen. This is a fucking pipe dream, but I want that game so bad. Just give me an like open planet, multiple planet bounty hunter game where I have to like slowly upgrade my ship and my guns and like all that stuff so that I can take on bigger and badder bounties. Oh,
yes.
Give it to me.
Yes. You know,
never going to happen. This is going to be fucking
this
Jedi Academy.
This
bad.
This might be a good question for the Facebook group for next week's podcast. Between this Star Wars game and we have Indiana Jones, and we have 007 with IO Interactive coming out at some point in our lives. We're seeing like this resurgence of licensed games coming back into the fold. Like potentially good licensed games.
Well, that was kind of what the thing that I took away from this was that I think the bigger news here is that EA is done.
Oh yeah, of course.
Like that's the biggest thing is finally. Like,
you could still do it.
You could still, but like we're making
someone else maybe try it and do better.
Turns out you guys you kind of shit the bed out of there a couple times. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like right. you could have made like 8 games. You made 4, and 2 of them were out.
Yeah.
And one of them was janky as all hell, but it had good bones. But I think that's the biggest story, because like now we're going to actually see other talented developers get a chance at this. You know, man, Naughty Dog would do something really cool with Star Wars.
And
I'm super interested. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Andy.
You go ahead, Taylor.
I just want to say I'm super interested to see what they do in the same vein as Marvel Game Studios has, right?
Mm, right.
Creating these exclusive deals with Sony, with Microsoft, with Nintendo, because Miles Morales and Spider-Man are like some of the best games that came out in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And it's all because of that partnership with Marvel Game Studio and stuff like that. Like imagine this new, Lucasfilms. What is it called? Lucas Game Studios? Lucasfilms?
Lucasfilms Lucas Game.
Lucas. Yep. Lucas's games.
Lucasfilms' games.
But like pouring that Disney money into these first party developers that can develop exclusively for their platform and create really fucking cool games. Like,
yeah,
I'm so stoked about that prospect.
I want like a little droid that could game. Like, would you start
like
off
Astrobot,
as
Astrobot? It's
Wall-E, but
yeah. But you start off as like a simple droid, and you're going over and like Frankensteining shit on you, like a blowtorch and shit, and like you're just trying to figure out how to get through the world.
I got it. You're a little.
It's droid. Just like the cutest little wholesome Star Wars game ever.
Yeah.
You're a droid that was in a scrapyard, and you've been reawakened somehow. And there's a dragon mark on the back of you.
There it is. There it is. There it is, bringing it full circle.
And then you go to Raiden's temple.
Bring it full circle. Let's go to the Facebook question of the week while we go to our chat here on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. If you have any questions, please leave them in the chat right now. But here we go. The question of the week is, what is your least favorite yet seemingly overly popular game mechanic? Mm. So I'll give you my answer. Mine is save points. I think save points and checkpoints where you're not allowed to save, you just have to go deal with the checkpoint, I think are done poorly more than they're done well. And the biggest recent offender to me, which made me actually stop playing the game, is Control. Control has had the shittiest. You had to go to these little circles of whatever the hell they called. Power, I don't remember what they were called. But that's where you save the game. Or you would reach a checkpoint that'll save it, so that if you died, you went back to the checkpoint. But sometimes you would lose an hour, easily an hour worth of progress, just because you didn't get to the next save point. Like, this is not PS1, PS2. Like, we have solid state drives. Figure this shit out. I think that's awful. Mr. Nuff says, old school JRPG turn-based combat. Mm. Not interested in it at all. We've moved far beyond it, and it should just stop being a thing. It's essentially the line infantry of gaming. I don't necessarily agree with that, because you have a lot of depth and strategy when it comes to turn-based RPGs, more so than, I feel like, Twitch-based combat, especially when it comes to, like, strategy RPGs.
I think Persona and more recently Yakuza 7 nullify that argument altogether.
Yeah, 100%.
I was gonna say that.
Well, I mean, this is a personal taste. It, you know,
right.
But I'm
saying Matt's wrong.
Thank you.
Friend of the show, Thornstone says QuickTime events. Cannot agree with you more on that. Although I don't mind it during like I don't want to do it to open a door. Like, I hate that, where it's like, oh, keep tapping X to open this gate. Like, stop it. Please stop it. But, like, when you're fighting a boss and then it's going to be, like, a quick cut scene where you're, like, trying to, like, dodge and whatever. Like, something about that. I know it's still, like, quick time, but something about that, like, I don't know. I just kind of like it. I don't know. It's
that makes more sense.
It's like playing a cut scene. Sequence. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Corey says, everything game having your character... I'm going to read this verbatim. Corey, everything game having your character level up or get skill point. Bring back the old skill-based gameplay.
Oh, so that's like the exact same point that I said. I think I'm the next one on that post.
The other one, Matt Mistinoff says, a pretty high second place. It's tons of games taking the Destiny-style power level approach to gear. The numbers going up. Vanessa Bean
numbers bigger
says more of a story choice but I'm fucking sick of games with depressing endings. Let me kill the big bad and then live happily ever after until the
Last of Us 2 recently. Is that what happened?
It's possible.
Oh, I want more of that.
Billy,
I love sad stories.
Oh, Billy the Door says games that dump useless loot, especially when it's not clear which piece of loot is quote better. I think this is why I can't get into Destiny or Borderlands, because you get something cool, but it's rendered useless less than a half an hour later when you get the new thing.
I agree with that.
I completely disagree with that. I love churning loot. Yeah, nothing makes me feel better.
You like the numbers go up.
That's you like the numbers.
Thank you.
Joe says the fact that every game essentially has become an RPG. RPG.
Get your RPG-ness out of my games.
Sin says microtransactions. When the game gaming industry makes more money than music and movies combined, there's no reason to nickel and dime people. We kind of had a little back and forth there. I think there's we've had the microtransaction discussion on the show many, many times, but I think there's like your cosmetic bullshit. And then there's what Shadow of War did, where it was like, hey, you can't progress because you're not getting enough XP. Wanna buy an XP booster? Wink, wink. And then all of a sudden you can actually fight higher level things. I think that's kind of douchey. Andy, what's yours?
You know, it's when games add like artificial padding, like go do this one thing 10 times and then do it again 10 more times. I think Shenmue 3 had the whole like get 10 chickens quest.
Yeah.
As an old man, it was like, capture 10 chickens like 5 times in a row over the course of 5 days to get God knows what at this point. I forgot.
I'm with you. Like, for me, it's like, we need to make the potion. Get me 3 right. white herbs from the mountain of Zumacalus. Sure. All right, here's your 3 white herbs. Okay, now I need the rock of the moon saber Get the chocobo. Tell me all three of these things at once. Are there any more ingredients, sir? I have pockets. I can figure this out. What else do you need, sir? Let me get all. Oh, I hate when you do something in the world that is a requirement for a quest, mm-hmm. and then you go get the quest and it makes you do it over again.
Mm-hmm.
If I killed the goats, if I slaughtered 1,000 goats,
right?
And don't make me kill 10 goats.
New quest. Hey, I just met you. Can you kill 10 goats? I've slayed all. They're extinct.
Would you like any of these
goats?
Goats
are dead.
Would you like any of these goat corpses behind me, sir?
I actually love it.
I have a sale on goat pelts. While you're one.
I absolutely love it when games have like cheeky little one-liners when you do a quest step before you go and take the quest, and the person's like, oh, you already did it? Fucking, okay,
yeah,
cool.
Great. Give me XP.
I love that.
Give me XP.
I love when they do that.
XP. I did all the shit. I just killed everything.
Yeah.
Taylor, what about you? What's your bugaboo?
So I said when every single game has skill points, and this is hilarious because all of my favorite games have skill points, but specifically the last couple of Call of Duties have done this where you can like fucking make your guy have 10% less recoil and you upgrade your shit in between story missions, and it just doesn't make sense. Like it's stupid. No, I don't need that. You're fucking Call of Duty. You're a 6-hour campaign. I don't give a shit that I have skill points.
You know,
stop.
Can I piggyback off that for a second?
Yeah, absolutely. That's yeah.
I don't like it when I can't max out a skill tree in the game.
Like, that new game plus makes you do it.
If I want to grind it out for like 100 plus hours to get like one more skill point to fill the tree up, let me do it. But nah, you can't. You can't be a locksmith and, you know, have a silver tongue. You can't do both things. Pick one. I want to do all the things. I want to play the game.
Yes, you want to know what game you would hate?
Oh, I don't want to know.
Path of Exile.
Oh, fuck me.
That's holy shit.
It looks so pretty, though. I've seen videos. It looks interesting.
It's beautiful. You only get 123 points max, though. And then 8,000 nodes on that fucking passive tree.
Now wait. Can I do a skill reset? Is that a thing I can do?
So you can get 123 skill points, and they give you 40 orbs of regret throughout the campaign. Respec up to 40 of those.
Now, can I have an orb of regret for my life for this podcast?
Do you earn an orb of regret per 1,000 hours to play the game?
No. That it should be that way, though. But keep in mind, Andy, you can only use Orb of Regrets on the last active node in the chain. You can't go back to like your third skill that you bought, because then it breaks the chain and it doesn't work. So you have to slowly buy it back to that point.
See,
so they go quickly.
This is why I like the Dark Souls Bloodborne approach. You can do a skill respec, like you pay the witch.
Yeah,
like, you know, 10 chicken hairs.
I wish I could pay the witch to get me off of this fucking podcast. Buzz Killington says, how about games that don't tell you shit at all and use that as a crutch to be like, oh, you got to explore and figure it out yourself.
Buzz, you're a fucking idiot. I had a conversation like, with him today.
Did you not
this
play
is why
games
he's
in the 90s?
Up.
Like it was every game in the Nintendo era was like that.
He's mad because he didn't know what to do when he played The Outer Worlds, fucking one of the best games to come out in the last decade.
Outer Wilds.
Outer Wild, sorry, yes. The Outer
I
Wilds.
Hated that game because I got super nauseous playing it.
That's fair.
That threw my vertigo way off. I'm like, I was going like this. What am I doing?
That game's incredible, but because they don't say, go to this fucking planet and turn the thing on, he hates it.
He's
got one of those dumb kid brains.
There's something satisfying about seeing a marker on a map, going to the marker, doing the thing, and then getting rewarded for it. Like, there's something to say about that. There's like that checkboxing, that box.
It's like gratification.
Right. And like for me, when I played The Outer Wilds after I was vomiting into a paper bag, I was saying to myself, "Oh, that's cool. Oh shit. Oh, that's what that is." And then I fell into like a weird fucking gravity hole. It wasn't a black hole, but it was like a weird planet that ripped me to pieces. I'm like, oh, okay. I just spun around quite a bit and I'm very nauseous. I'm gonna go vomit again. And that was the end of that game for me. All right, so that is gonna do it for our Facebook question of the week. Now we have a Hype Fam member nomination. There's a name here, and I have a feeling Purger put it in there. Tay-Tay.
I indeed did.
Taylor. So go ahead. Tell us who our Hype Fam
yes. Our, of the week is. I just figured you were going to do it. Our Hype Fam member of the week is the one and only Miss Envy, one of the most incredibly positive and supportive people that Steve and I have had the pleasure of meeting. I absolutely adore her. She's the best. Check her out on twitch.tv/MissEnvy. She's just a wonderful human. If you like wholesomeness and positivity and stuff, she's definitely the person for you.
Now, so. We keep nominating Hype Fam members, and I understand that we forget about things, but we want to hear from you. Who do you want to elevate? Who do you want to put on a pedestal? Who do you want us to check out? Who do you want the community to know about? Write to us at feedback@ndspodcast.com. Andy is the keeper of that email address. So if you have been sending them, I'm sorry. But I think he Andy's does get fault. Them in his inbox. So I don't think you have to. Actually, I think you linked us too, right? I think you linked me
yes,
to that too.
Yes, you are linked. You are linked.
So if anything comes in for that, I will see it as well. So write to us, feedback@ndspodcast.com with the subject line Hype Fam Hype. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at @dual_screens on Twitter and at @ndspodcast on Instagram. I'm at @batchild27. Andy's at @pantsguy. Taylor is at @itspurger. And our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/dspodcasts. That's facebook.com/groups/dspodcasts. Again, thank you so much for watching live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. And later, if you're watching on youtube.com/dualscreenstv, please hit the thumbs up, leave a comment below, and also hit that subscribe button. We are rapidly approaching 500. So please do that. That would be fantastic. That's going to do it for the show. Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
I don't think so. Let's see. Oh, check out last week's Dual Screens podcast interview with Neil Jones.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one.
It was a fun one. We that was really funny.
Aerial Knights Never Yield. That game looks all sorts of crazy.
He's a character.
Yes.
He is a goof.
Yes.
And I enjoyed that a lot.
We learned that black people don't like the water and or yachts. It was a valuable lesson learned.
It's a very, very valuable lesson.
Yeah.
And in case you're wondering, he is black. That's how we learned that. Oh, yeah. We didn't just get three white dudes up there and decide that black people don't like water or yachts. It wasn't that wasn't what happened here.
Hey, it might have been what happened. Go watch the episode. You'll find out.
It might have been. Right. It might have been. Spoilers.
We're gonna find out.
Spoilers. You know what I mean? Taylor, is there anything you want to tell anybody before we go?
Keep an eye out on my Twitter. There's going to be a fun little wrestling promo of me calling out Steve coming up this week.
That is happening. And that's it. That's going to do it for us. This has been Crossplay Podcast. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Taylor. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, viewers. Take care. And as always, please be excellent to each other.